All right. Welcome, everyone. This is episode 109, and it's a special one. I think most of you are probably aware of the documentary that came out not too long ago. And so today I invited the maker of the said documentary, and probably the guy who was the hype the most at CCP. I think it was the first one to tell me about it too. But yeah, for those who don't know, so Frederick has a YouTube channel called Down the Rabbit Hole, where he makes videos where he deep dives into like niche topics. Niche like ETH, right? I mean, for us, it's probably not so apparent that it's niche, but it is kind of niche, all right? In his documentary, he went and documented not just like the game history, but like the game, the history that the players made, right? The stuff that matters to the players, I would say. So yeah, thanks for coming on, Frederick.
Of course, it's my pleasure.
And then second guest, obviously, CCP Convict, has been on here before. One of my favorite devs at CCP.
I think you're just saying so. I can tell I must be one of your favorites, given the flattering statistics that you have assigned to me on my my little card here.
Wait. First of all, I don't remember assigning them. Usually, so I give you guys a form to fill out. So you filled that out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I did do a form.
I'm pretty sure you did. I think there's one exception, and that was last episode, actually. It was the first time I remember where I had to fill it out because I could just not get a hold of Shadoo. So I just like winged it. And then shortly before I sent it to him, he's like, yeah, it's all right. And that was
now this feels like an exercise that a therapist would give.
Yeah. But just to clarify for anyone who wonders here, you can't have a full score on everything, right? This is just time spent on kind of stuff, you know? Like, but yeah, I'm not judging anyone, okay? That was all you. But yeah, before you became a CCP dev, you were already super involved in the community, long time player. I think, I don't know,
2004 is when I started.
Super early. Whenever people see streams and stuff like this, usually Convict, you have your hands in there, right?
If I'm not actually hosting the stream, I'm usually the one in the back room pressing the buttons while someone else does the hosting. So yeah, live streaming stuff at CCP is sort of what I'm looking after mostly these days.
It's the face behind the CCP in chat a lot of times. Not always, but a lot of times. I remember you being super excited about the whole project and even organizing a little early, like what do you call it?
It's like a pseudo premiere of the first half at FanFest last year is what we did. So I have to confess, when I first heard about this being in production, Frederick Knudsen's channel wasn't one I was particularly familiar with. But a guy I worked near at the office, CCP Clover, he lost his shit when he's like down the rabbit hole is doing an Eve thing. Like, he was like, CCP Clover is a big fan, and he was like even like a Patreon of Frederick's. So when he found this out, his excitement is like, oh, I really need to take this seriously and, you know, look closely at it. And one glance at Frederick's channel, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is the guy to tackle this subject if anyone's going to do it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, especially since like it's so deep that the whole history, like you can't cover this in like a 31-hour video. I remember the preview thing for the first half, and like we didn't know what to expect, so I was kind of thinking, yeah, it's probably like a video about Eve, cool, yeah, and we just sit down for like 30 minutes, maybe an hour, and just chit chat and watch a video. And then I was like, oh man, this is like a serious like project, like a big like documentary style. So yeah.
Oh yes, I was hoping that I could do it in 3 hours, and as I was writing the script and it continued to balloon, I quickly recognized, oh, I have undershot this badly.
Yeah, and then there'll always be people saying like, oh, you left this out. Oh, you left that out, right? There's so much more that you could have talked about, right?
Not as much as you would think, though. The comments on this video have been incredibly complimentary. Lots of Eve vets chiming in and saying, like, there's no way he could have covered everything, but he picked the right things. That's something that I've been very happy about, that I seem to have picked the right things.
Yeah, and then, you know, there's probably going to be, some people complaining about little things that wasn't quite perfect or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
Something that, yeah, oh yeah.
Every video ever, though.
Oh, absolutely. Knowing this, I added a mea culpa onto the end, explaining that this is incomplete. You could have made this 5 times as long and it still wouldn't cover nearly everything. Any aspect I touched on could have multiple videos of the same length about it. I know that there are mistakes due to error or ignorance, I believe is how I put it. And I hope for people's enjoyment regardless. I just knew that I was going to make mistakes. What I'm very happy about is that the mistakes I made were of pretty low impact. A good example of this is I talked about how when capital ships were released, they could use the Stargate network. That is not true. In 2009, what was it? 2009, I want to say. When capital ships were released, they could not use the Stargate network. They could only use it after 5 years. In 2014, they were given the capability, I believe, to use the Stargate network. However, the fact is rather inconsequential because nobody wants to move supers through Stargates anyway. Like, everyone just wants to use Sinos if they can. So it was a relatively low impact mistake.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That kind of stuff in a game like this, I like, even from my perspective, someone who's like super involved, and knows like an embarrassing amount, honestly, about the game. Even if I had to tackle a project like that, I would be like, oh my god, like, to get everything right and nothing right. Even about more recent stuff, because like, if you think about the last Vietnam, World War B2, whatever we call it now,
right? Yeah.
Even then, like, I was involved, and still I would have to go back and actually double check and see, and like, it just seems like a mountain of work right there. And
yeah,
that's why your categories, like, I changed them, obviously, but like, for those who know, sometimes I change the categories for some people if I feel like it fits them better, right? And in this case, it's editing, research, and then writing and narrating. And I think it shows, right? A lot of people think like, oh, he makes videos, so he's sitting there all day, every day, editing videos. Like,
oh, hell no.
But that's not really what it is, right? Like, look at the research, look at the narrating and writing stuff.
You were talking about Vietnam. That's brand new in the scope of the stuff that Frederick had to cover. Trying to dig stuff up, going back to 2003, 2004. Actually, can I ask you a question, Frederick?
Yeah, sure.
I know this is Pando's show, but I want to ask you a question because this is a question that I asked to Andrew Grohn when I interviewed him when he released Empires of Eve. Now, you spoke to a lot of veteran EVE Online players to sort of get the backgrounding for this. Did you find the farther back you went, the more freely people spoke about events at those times?
You know, something that surprised me was that people were very open and free about pretty much everything. However, the farther back I went, the farther back the events were, the more candid people were.
People
were interviewing people for this video was such a joy because a lot of the struggles that you usually have with an interview just weren't there. People, I really got the sense that everyone I talked to wanted this video to be the best that it possibly could be. And so the funny effect of that was they started policing themselves looking for bias. And frequently they would say like, obviously I am biased about this, but like, this was my experience, right? Like they would always add these caveats because they're what I really think that the people I was interviewing were making a good faith effort to make this video as good as it could be. And it wouldn't be nearly as good without the help of people. Obviously I have to deal with sort of filtering that kind of thing out very frequently. But I will say that people were not as worried about filtering their bias when they were talking about older events. They actually would speak, what's the word I want to use? Their candor was different. It definitely felt like listening to my grandfather talking about his time in the war, right?
Right.
we sometimes make those jokes too, like in Fleet we do something like, yeah, we're gonna tell our grandkids one day about this one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, oh, sit down, God. Kids back in the day.
Yeah. one of the most common comments that I got was parents talking about how, like, usually kids will show their parents videos to help them make sense of what they're doing. In this case, it's the opposite. It's parents who say they finally have a video to show their kids so their kid can understand what they've been doing on the computer all this time.
This is why I didn't see so much of me between ages 2 and 10.
and I can totally see the you know, people being more honest, more, I don't know, direct about the history that's a little bit further in the past, right? They're a little bit more detached, just simply, right?
So like, yes, absolutely.
They're more happy to say like, yeah, we totally did this and that, and it wasn't quite right and all that stuff.
Yeah, the embarrassment has faded a little bit.
Yeah, they almost see themselves as like different. It's a different alliance now, right? Even if it's the same name, a lot of the same people, but like people change over time, right?
Yeah. Right, yeah, absolutely. Speaking of, that's one of the reasons that I was reticent to get too into the weeds about which corporations and which alliances were in which coalitions, because it changes constantly. And I needed some sort of consistency in the video so it didn't become just an absolute mire. Have you heard of the Gortman and Bleemer problem?
No.
It is a relatively new phenomenon that came up due to a satirical article about from The Onion about the indictments against Trump, because there were just so many people and everyone was important in their own way, and it quickly just became mud. Like, all these names ran together and nobody could keep track of what was going on. Eve Online is very similar. You have so many names and all of them are so impactful and important that it just becomes a mess. And trying to, like, for a viewer who knows nothing about Eve, the problem is multiplied. So yeah. I had to be tactical.
And then you have new characters come up all the time too, right? Like, mm-hmm. Nowadays, like, you know, the big names, yep. The FCs and stuff. Like, for example, Last episode, I talked to Shadu, like an old legendary FC for Pandemic Legion.
Right.
And then he was talking about Gobbins, who is now the leader of the biggest, probably the strongest alliance in EVE right now. And he just remembered him as a little junior FC in PL, right? It's like, so if you go back there, like, yeah, you wouldn't be talking about Gobbins. But in today's, if you would like mention him, you know, and stuff, it's, you know, stuff changes constantly too.
Oh, yeah.
It's so hard to keep track of, even if you're involved, right? Even if you're like FCing fleets or leading your alliance or whatever, like sometimes you don't even know what's going on.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that was one important aspect that I had to accept very quickly when I was interviewing people, is that no individual person is going to be able to give me even a majority of what I need. Everyone's experience in EVE, I have learned, is very niche and very specific. And there are people who have been playing their whole lives, you know, for the whole duration of EVE, and they're learning things from my video. One of the most fun things that happened was when I would explain some of what I discovered in my research, and these people who have been playing for over a decade respond with, "I didn't know that."
I didn't know everything either. Like there's a lot of that video is like before my time. So like I heard stories and, you know, like, oh yeah, doesn't that happen? Mm-hmm. But like, we only get one side of the story from someone. So like, you know, it probably happens and it might have happened differently than that person remembered. So like, to have someone to try his best to get it right, it's just nice too, right? To just like have it documented. So, you know.
I tried. I earnestly tried.
You did really well. You did really well.
It's great for me as well, because like at the top of the show, I said, oh yeah, I've been playing since 2004, but I had an EVE account since 2004. I logged into the game and I flew spaceships around, but that doesn't mean I was playing EVE or even knew the first thing about it. I didn't really become an EVE player, I think, until about 2009 when I got involved in a particular corporation, which was just amazing.
Yeah.
So all that stuff was news to me as well.
You know what I wondered, Convict? Like, do you get asked, like, what even is EVE sometimes? Because, like, now that you are, like, actually, suddenly, like, I imagine, right? So you're from Australia, and you just do whatever you did before you were a CCB dev. And then suddenly you tell your family, like, oh, yeah, I'm moving to Iceland, family and friends, and so, and they're like, what? And like, oh, yeah, there's this game, you know, spaceships and stuff. Like,
yeah. Never really had to go too deeply into that rabbit hole with my family, though, because most of them are like, it's one of those weird esoteric things that Dan is into. So just whatever. I'm moving to Iceland for a video game. They're like, no, that makes sense.
He's on a spiritual journey.
I get that kind of thing, too, because my interests tend to be rather esoteric. And I stream over the course of this video. I joined a VTubing agency, funny enough. And it's been going very, very well. It definitely helped buoy me during the drought in between videos. But there is a term that people have come up with. They call it Fredcore, which is something esoteric and complicated and like impenetrable, and Fred likes it. And like oftentimes weird and like somehow like unsettling and existential in some way. Like that is like any combination of those things is now Fredcore. So I think that we have
such a cool name.
So, Convict, what was the reaction at CCP when it first came out? Beside your friend, I forgot who it was.
We'd been pretty excited about this, like within community and within brand, in particular, for you know, several months in the run-up, as the scope of it became apparent, and obviously from a marketing side of things, this is fantastic. We're so glad that Frederick chose to do
was it a lot of new players EVE Online?
Well, yeah, because like, you know, he gets millions of views per video, and so even if he was a much smaller channel, we probably would have wanted to support him anyway, just as any way we could to get it over the line. But it was obviously with a channel this size, it was like, oh, this is also a great opportunity to expose EVE Online to a brand new audience. You know, people haven't seen it before. And if you go through the comments on the video, you can see yourself, so many people saying things like, oh, this is the game that I think it's finally time to download the installer. You know, like
it's true.
Yeah, and also people saying like, I haven't played EVE in 8 years, but I'm reinstalling now because of this. So
I had at least like 3 people in chat too, saying like, hey, I'm just checking out EVE because of the documentary. Like,
yep.
So explain EVE to me. I'm like, you know.
Wait a minute.
I usually try not to have any impact on the subject that I'm covering, and historically that has been the case. My impact has been minimal, you know, very much a don't tap the glass kind of person. But with EVE Online, I definitely, that wasn't my feeling toward it. I hope that I managed to share something with people that they want to get into. I hope that this has a positive effect on EVE Online, because I think it's such a beautiful game and so fascinating. And I think that it is like, it will be an incredible experience for people who are discovering it through my video.
Yeah. But to finish answering Pando's question, and no doubt we did get a lot of new eyeballs on EVE Online thanks to this documentary. But to finish answering Pando's question, internally at CCP, yeah, there was a lot of excitement about this as it got closer and closer. People were really looking forward to getting their hands on it, especially after all of the previews that we got at FanFest and me and CCP Swift talking about it around the office, all the different topics and things that you were covering. And like I said, now I regard it, actually, I don't know if I said this on air or not yet, it might have been before the show, but now I'm regarded as something of a training aid. I was talking to a new CCP developer just the other day who has a lot of industry experience, but not so much EVE Online experience. And I was like, all right, this is your homework. You got to go home and watch this weekend and bring you up to speed.
That's funny. But like the best way... would always to say like you gotta play EVE, you know, every CCP dev needs to at least play a little bit, right?
Yeah, for sure. I encourage as many people as possible at the big work to play it on the ring.
Get them in the room, lift a feet.
Definitely.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, part of my research process was playing the game. I joined a HiSec corp for like a week and that fell apart. You know, of course, as HiSec mining ops do. And then I joined up on EVE University and ended up on their wormhole campus and just ended up doing wormholer things. And that
probing
was
signatures.
Oh yeah. I mean, one of my favorite things to do was just hop in my Anathema and start scanning down holes and signatures and mapping things out. And that was like I know that you have the chart of different kinds of game players, of different MMO players. I'm definitely a helper. If I were to join up on EVE again, which is there is a non-zero chance, I would join Signal Cartel, because I would love to be a part of that.
Well, I mean, we have something called the Wormhole Crew. Just saying, we can always use someone probing wormholes all day.
Keep an eye out. I realized very quickly that I was not going to be able to get a handle on the game if I didn't play in some capacity. Because otherwise, like, how are you going to figure out?
Nothing's going to make sense, right?
How are you going to figure out what? Right, exactly. Like, there's so much jargon, and so just by playing, you start to absorb jargon. Even just generally, even if I'm not in NullSec, I'm understanding the game better so that I have a frame of reference for when people in NullSec are talking about different things, like different aspects of their experience. But also, when I write, and more so than I am a researcher, I'm a writer. This has been a massive writing challenge, more so than anything else. When I write, I'm writing from the perspective of someone who knows nothing going in. And so how am I going to understand the experience, and how am I going to know how to explain what this game is if I don't start from the ground up myself?
Yeah.
I suppose you need to have that credibility if you want to presume to make a documentary, you know, 6 hours long, like on EVE or on any topic. It's like, well, you've got to go and get in the trenches. Otherwise, yeah.
Katya, hey. Katya is here. Sorry, I just like poked over a chat and Katya is here.
Yeah, how's it going? Who was the advisor anyway? Beside Convic, I think you guys had like a reviewing thing.
I wouldn't call myself an advisor as such, but Frederick can speak to it more, but he did use myself and CCP Swift as kind of just like a sounding board for when a new section of the script had been written, just to listen to it and like, does this sound all correct and so forth.
Yeah.
But I'll let Frederick speak to that.
Yeah, of course. One of the places I started actually was contacting CCP, right? And immediately, right? Like Convict and Swift have been there through the entire process, not only talking about their experience and, you know, going over the script for accuracy. Like there were a lot of moments, right? Like I would show them a section, I'd read it to them, and they'd stop me and be like, oh, that's not quite right, or this isn't quite representative. Although they did give me a lot of free rein, I will say. That like CCP helped a lot, but this was in no way sponsored by CCP. I think like the closest you could get, I think, to conflict of interest would be like, you know, they flew me out to FanFest to show off the video. But I think that the content of the video pretty well speaks to the fact that it wasn't sponsored, given that I aired out a fair bit of dirty laundry, right?
Yeah, but it's not all sunshine and rainbows and CCP or EVE history.
No, the Summer of Rage, all that stuff is in there.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it didn't at any moment feel like there was anything left out, you know, that should have been in there that was negative about CCP or anything. And I want to say both Convict and Swift, they would have been the guys to talk to even if they weren't at CCP, of course, right? So
absolutely. Yeah. From the beginning, right? I hope this doesn't damage anything, Convict, but I definitely got the sensation that first it kind of felt like the most important thing to them was making sure that this video was good, and any like duty to CCP was like secondary. I hope that I'm not getting you in trouble by saying this.
That's literally okay, good.
Right. But that was my sensation from the beginning, and that's really the sensation I got from everyone, that they wanted to help make this video as good as it could be on its own, because I think that was in everyone's mutual interest. And there were moments where Dan and Swift, they were like, hey, you know, I feel like this isn't quite perfectly representative, or like maybe you want to add this. And there were moments where I just said, I disagree, right? Like, I disagree. And I think that the script needs to say that the way it is. I think the script needs to be this harsh, or like it needs to be worded this way, because as a writer, this feels more accurate. And the moment I said that, it was always, okay, right? This is your script. They would offer their advice, but never any pressure to like move it in one way or another. And I want you to know I'm very appreciative of that. I think I have expressed that that sentiment before, but I want to reemphasize that. I'm very appreciative.
Yeah, absolutely. When it comes to sort of the warts and all aspect of it, you know, talking about, like I said before, the Summer Rage and things like that, if this didn't mention the Summer of Rage, I probably would have said to you, hey, you really need to put this in.
Dude,
the
time
the community was furious at CCP.
Its absence would have been conspicuous.
Yeah, and a lot of they're just so foundational to the relationship with CCP and the community that we have today. I mean, and I was on the player side of the fence for all of those things, you know, like if Frederick's documentary was like a clock, I become CCP at like 11:30 PM, you know? I was injured. I was shooting that monument. I didn't really know why, but I was just like, seems cool. Let's do that. all those formative things, really, really important foundational things in the development of the community relationship between us and CCP have to go in, even if, it's a little bit inconvenient to acknowledge. Like, we just got to own it. I think that's the right thing to do and the healthy thing to do.
Were there any side stories, you know, or something that you remember where you thought about putting them in, but then you said like, that doesn't quite fit. It's going to stretch the video by another 4 hours.
Oh God, the amount of stuff that I have left on the cutting room floor is bonkers. And the reason is, at its core, Down the Rabbit Hole is story time, right? Like, if I were not making Down the Rabbit Hole, if electricity hadn't been invented yet, I'd be sitting around a campfire and telling stories, right? Like, I'm pretty convinced at this point that just is the track I would have taken. But because it's story time, that means it needs to be coherent. And typically, Down the Rabbit Hole has one narrative thread, maybe two if I'm feeling spicy. But this video, at one point I did a count and I can't remember what the number was. It was at least 11 narrative threads that all are happening at once and intertwining with one another and crossing paths and influencing one another at every point. And there were points where I just had to be, I can't add another. Like, it's already
too much.
It's going
to confuse the viewer too, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Just, I had to limit it. Otherwise, it was going to be beyond comprehension. This is already a thick video, right? But I had to leave stuff out. Otherwise, it was going to be incomprehensible, even to an Eve player.
Yeah.
A good example of this is Vile Rat, by the way. I call him out at the end of the video, right? Like, it feels criminal to leave out Vile Rat. The reason I left it out is partially because YouTube does not like hot button political topics. And I really needed to make sure, like, because this video had taken so long, I needed to make sure it was monetized. Usually I'm a little looser about that and I'm not as worried. But this was a case where I needed to be really careful, and I am not happy about that. But that's just one example. Oh God, what else?
I thought about that part. Yeah.
It's something that you always have to consider as a YouTuber, unfortunately.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, obviously. But yeah. One group that I thought felt left out was Wormholers. That was not...
My God. I got to sit down with a bunch of people, including Moose, actually. That's someone that I really should have, like, added a special thanks to. But I got to sit down with a bunch of Wormholers, including the Voidlings, a lot of the Voidlings. And of course, you know, I was a Wormholer. I'm hanging out with Rogueflight. So sweet. And I got to learn so much about the history of evictions, and especially, you know, there's been some recent interesting history, of course. But then I realized, wait a minute. Like, I started writing it and I stopped myself and went, wait a minute. I can't have another political mess in this video. It's like, it's already so complicated. And speaking as a wormholer, felt awful.
I think it's very clear that there has to be a second video, right? Just saying.
There is definitely a part of me that's like, look, I want to move on from Eve. I want to do new topics. But, you know, what if, like, what if, just, you know, what if I did return to Wormhole Space for, you know, just a little bit, just a little bit. It's kind of like a highway designer adding another lane. It's like, just one more lane. What if I just add one more lane, right? That'll fix traffic, right? What if I just make one more video, just one more video talking about this little thing, just one more. I know that's going to happen if I don't stop myself.
You know what that actually reminds me of is what I keep, every now and then it comes up on stream when I'm talking to people. What about a Netflix series, like a proper, like League of Legends did with Arcane? Like, what would you think, like, how hard would that be to make? Like, what are our chances? Maybe that's the better question here. What are our chances that we ever get this? What do you think?
Man, I like, if hey convict, if CCP isn't considering this, they really should.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, they have in the past, I'm sure.
I mean, yeah, it would be so cool. Because you have so many interesting factions that, like, you would have to smooth them out a little bit in order to make them work as, like, a dramatization. But I can just imagine, a Nullsec corporation, right? Like, they're in the midst of a war, and then suddenly Wormholers burst out from a Nullsec static, and like their ships are painted like fucking Mad Max raiders, right? That's always how I felt. Like, Wormhole Space felt like the Mad Max wasteland, with like raiders, you know, like attacking each other and occasionally leaving to go and attack other people, like other settlements. It's great. It would be so dramatic seeing a swarm of Wormholers.
There is a classic Eve meme which depicts Wormholers exactly like that, using a picture from Mad Max, The Road Warrior.
I mean,
no, it hurt. It hurt leaving stuff out.
Whenever I think about the whole like a proper like Netflix series kind of thing. I was thinking like, man, like why didn't that happen yet? Like comic, why didn't this happen yet? Like
I know, it's just there's so much good stuff there, right? For a TV series, whether it's like, sort of a retelling of player exploits, or if they just took the lore and wrote an entirely original story, based on like the Four Empires and the pirates and that sort of stuff. It would be amazing.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. No, the lore is so rich. That's another thing that I had to skip over was the lore of the game. Which is fascinating. And I just had to say no. Like I need to focus on the player experience of this.
Yeah, which was the right choice, I think. Like,
Yeah, I think so
if you
too.
add the lore on top of this, like, it's getting ridiculous. Also,
Yeah.
like we already said, like people are gonna lose their minds just remembering all these little things. Like, I tried when I watched the video, I was trying to put myself into like a new player at times, like someone who doesn't know Eve at all. And I was trying to figure out, would I understand what is going on? And I'm not sure if I know, if I could. It was like so much.
I've actually gotten a lot of positive comments from people who have never played Eve. I think the most common negative comment I've gotten is, "This is boring. 2 years for this, Fred L." Like shit like that, right? But I mean, I'm not creating content for everyone, Like I don't mind if some people think it's boring because it's not for them. It's for people who find this kind of thing fascinating, like me. And so I will say that maybe this has been a little bit less penetrable for someone who isn't familiar with Eve. However, again, the reception from non-Eve players has still been overwhelmingly positive. And I'm very chuffed about that.
And Nicholas is just asking, and I wanted the same thing, like an Eve series, like a proper, Netflix series. Would that be an animated one, or would that be like a live action? I think live action would be cringy to me. I think I couldn't. I wouldn't be able to handle it. Imagine like the characters we have now, and then someone has to play these characters, and then you have like, I don't know, Gobbins is suddenly Chris Hemsworth or something, right?
Have to get Ryan Gosling to play you, Pando.
Dude, imagine something like that. No, yeah, I think it has to be. It has to be, like animatrics. Honestly, just thinking about it, because like
Mean
it's
like an anthology thing where it's like a different snapshot of New Eden every episode rather than a single contiguous storyline.
See, you guys are thinking about the visuals. I'm thinking about the soundtrack. Could you imagine the soundtrack for Steve, the first Titan? Oh, you could have some fun with that score.
Yeah, you had actual like for your documentary, you had actually someone do actually music for you specifically for this video, right?
Yes, so I have a Patreon, but the Patreon, I do not see a majority of the Patreon. Most of it goes back into the show to like pay for expenses, and one of those is a composer that I basically have on retainer. And he does all of the music. So all of the music in the video, except for like the drum and bass during the Hilmar interview, all of it was original. And it was like he does an absolutely fantastic job. I think he outdid himself this time. But yeah, 6 hours of original music for this.
And I gotta say, when like I'm not super experienced when it comes to video editing. I dip my toes in it every now and then. So when you talk about a narrative and writing stuff, I kind of know the struggle, but I'm also aware it's like 100 times harder for you than for the stuff I did before.
It's tricky.
And it's the sound, like the audio stuff, is like a struggle in itself, right? Like, and then you're like a professional YouTuber, so on top of that you come in with the problems of like copyrights and all that stuff, right? So I can only imagine
Oh yeah.
that's another level.
It is a little bit of a nightmare. And finding a balance is always really difficult. But I think I hit it. And I think part of it, part of avoiding conflict in that way is just making sure everyone's happy, right? Like, if it's a good video, then like people are going to it's going to cause less problems. And I know that maybe that sounds, I hope it doesn't sound cynical, because I did earnestly want this video to be good, but there are some fringe benefits of just making sure that you're representing something well.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because YouTube is a very precarious place, just in general, right? Like, I have diversified my income. One of the reasons that I enjoy streaming, right? I love streaming. It's so much fun. But the fringe benefit, one of the fringe benefits of that is I have some stability. Because YouTube will notoriously just decide to nuke people's channels for no apparent reason. And so I always have that. I have that sword of Damocles hanging over my head. And so having an out just in case is important.
You know what was one interesting thing I thought that you put in? That was the introduction of kill mails and the change in behavior of the players. And that's something that came up on the podcast with some real old, like, Pro God Legends, probably a name you've heard before.
Oh, I talked with him. I interviewed him.
Yeah, there you go. And I think I talked to Killer B about it too. And some older, like, big FCs, they all share that the kill mail shaming thing. Shines is another one. Where it's like, yeah, people behave differently because of kill mails, right? They would do different things if there weren't kill mails and stuff like this. I thought that was an interesting thing that you decided to put that in there. So it must have been like important to you, huh?
It was. Something did you get kill that mail I shades? Did. Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Something that
was a convict.
Something that I, something that I did in this video that I have not done historically is quite so much analysis, right? Like, I usually try to refrain from analysis, but with something so complicated as Eve, I felt like there were certain moments, certain aspects that needed to be dissected further, and because things that happen in Eve very frequently have numerous second order, third order effects, and that have drastic implications for the game and the way that people play. And the kill mails is one of those examples, right? Like, it's maybe not something that you see people write about, but interviewing people, it was something I got the feeling of, right? It's just something that comes up. This is one of the advantages. I think I was able to tease a lot of really great information out of people just by like leaving open-ended questions and sort of pulling on threads that people were talking about, right? There'll be this is something that I think is advantageous for me, is I have a habit of pulling threads. Someone mentions something and I'm like, wait, hold on. What's this? Or like, what's that? Talk a little bit more about that. And they don't realize that this is important, or that maybe I don't know about it because they take the information for granted.
You'd make a good spy.
Thank you. I take that as a compliment.
I don't know, to be honest.
But kill mails are an example, right? Like, it seems like an innocuous thing, just something to keep track of things, but it does have an effect. Another example of this that I thought was important was the way that Eve reporting is done. They say that spite is a good motivator. And when I was reading articles about Eve Online, even just my cursory knowledge, just a couple of months of time, you know, in the game, like immersing myself in it, I could tell these articles are shit. And I knew, like, I got angry and I'm like, Eve deserves better than this. Oh my God, that Forbes article that I quoted, the one that quotes Darius Johnson, absolute trash, absolute dumpster fire, garbage. mom may mock video games no more. Fuck off. Like, that made me mad. So bad.
Yeah. And, right on, man.
I got mad and I'm like, no, you know what? The biggest middle finger that I could give these people is just making a video that the Eve players think is good, right? Like, so, like something that they approve of. And so, like, there was no small measure of spite that was driving me along. And but one of the struggles, but I also ended up running into a lot of the similar roadblocks that they did, which is the bias toward goons. Because on one hand, it is true that the goons have, in some ways, been the main characters of NullSec for a very long time, if only because all of the major wars either involved them, like, attacking people, or them being dickholes and then getting attacked by other, like, other coalitions, right? Like, other coalitions trying to put them down. The wars end up revolving around the goons. And that, like, that's part of their shtick. They are the villain, in a lot of ways. But they're also the main character. They make themselves the main character, and they do it partially by being provocative and being the instigators for a lot of these wars. The Vice Royalty Program, a great example that I cited in my video. But also, I felt like analysis in this video was warranted because so many of these news publications relied upon the Mitanni's reporting, upon his word, and that's often all they got.
They were always looking for certain things too. Like, I know that,
absolutely,
like, from interviews,
easy
from,
narratives.
Like, certain MMO sites that are covering EVE and stuff, they're always looking for you to say a number, right? Like a dollar number. Like, oh yeah, that's a good headline. Ugh, it's so annoying. I'm glad you clarified it. I always, like, think that should, every time it should be clarified. Like, no, there isn't, like, EVE isn't about, like, all these people spending thousands of dollars. Like, no, like, that's just the value for them translated into real life, basically, right?
Right. I really...
Unfortunately, that's the easiest sort of, you know, metric, which is globally comprehensible, right? It's like, this fight costs $300,000. And because, you know, you can buy Plex and then sell it on the market, you can draw a line between the cost of something in-game and its IRL value in terms of dollars. So it's, unfortunately, it's just all the only thing they've got to work with.
It's a curse and a blessing. Because, like, otherwise, there would be no way to translate it. And they're like, oh yeah, battleships. Like, I don't know what a battleship is. Oh yeah, Titan die. Right. Okay. Like, yeah, yesterday I did a 5-kill fucking killing spree in Call of Duty. That was pretty awesome too. Like, nah. Yeah. You see, like, how do you translate this, right? So it's like, it's annoying, but I kind of, we need it too, right?
A little bit. I think that the people... I think that a lot of the reporters who have written about EVE Online, especially in the early days, I think that maybe EVE reporting, like, in mainstream news, got a little bit more cynical as time went on. But especially in the early days, there were gamers who, gamer with a capital G, who loved EVE and were fascinated by it, but couldn't figure out how to make other people give a shit. And there was one way with the introduction of, like, even it was even before the introduction of Plex, I think, when they could assign a dollar or a, you know, pound value, a value in real world. I use the term fiat currency in the video because, like, saying real world money felt like on its own felt silly because, like, it's like game currency is also fiat currency, right? And I felt like that distinction was important. But if they can assign a dollar value, suddenly people care. There's obviously a mainstream fascination with assigning real-world dollar values to digital assets. You can see it in the modern day with, like, pushes for like the preemptively named Web 3.0, maybe a bit too preemptive. they want to make things that happen online matter to the average person. And what is the universal language? Money.
I think that's
pretty... And it's frustrating.
Yeah. It's frustrating, but at the same time, unavoidable too, right? Yeah.
It is. Well, I mean, it's an in. It's like you were saying. It's like getting your foot in the door, but keeping it from closing. Like, how do you make people care? It's like, yes, this ship was worth $40,000, but that's almost a way to smuggle in the actual interest in the game, right? It's like you could value it at this much, but there's so much more.
It's just a headline, right? To get their attention, to make them care, to really care, they would have to get involved, right? And then I think a lot of people might make that decision actually, probably consciously, saying like, do I want to care, right? Do I want to get involved? Do I want to be part of the community and actually care if like stuff, you know, if a war breaks out in EVE or not?
Right.
And then some people make that jump and then they join. And then other people are like, man, I can see where this is going.
Yeah.
let me play another round of whatever, right? Just like, you know, yeah. It's just how it is, I think.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. I think that there is a lot of cynicism around things that people do for enjoyment, right? Like this doesn't really matter, right? Like there is that sense. And I think that sense even is there for EVE players, like for anyone who plays a game. And for context, I have played a bunch of PlanetSide, you know, that's where I made my home for a while. I did a lot of platoon leadership in PlanetSide, and I'm like, there is that sort of psychological disconnect where I'm playing this because it's fun, and I will drop this as soon as it is no longer fun. But at the same time, those alerts that I was fighting to win, those mattered to me. And I, like, my attention was fully on this. Like, I am leading people. I am keeping their morale up, right? Like, I have to manage people's expectations and morale and, like, keep them engaged. And, like, this is something that matters a lot to me at the moment. But then I end it, and it's still a game. But also, I have to acknowledge the fact that it does matter to me. And it did matter to me. And perhaps the instinct of writing it off as this doesn't really matter is it's not fair to my experience or the experiences of everyone else, because
it's not true. Like, I think it's just a lie. Like, people want to tell themselves like, oh yeah, this doesn't actually matter, but I think there's no question about it for me personally, and not even the in-game thing for me directly. But when I see, for example, forum posts, back in the day it was forum posts, we don't really do forum posts anymore, but like someone saying like, hey, I won't have time in EVE anymore and stuff, but like, you helped me through this and this in real life and stuff like this. Like, this is not a rarity either, right? Like, yeah, some people like benefit a lot from the community and from the alliances and stuff. And so for me personally, it was never the question, like, I don't know how people could even, like, in any, that would be any hobby or any, you know, activity, like, it all matters at the end of the day. Like, it might not be direct.
EVE is just an engine for bringing people together and putting them in different circumstances, whether they're cooperating with each other or competing against each other. It's all the things that grow out of that, which I think is what makes EVE worthwhile, if you know what I mean.
I was having a conversation with another creator who I think was a little more dismissive of EVE. They haven't watched the video yet. And they talked about what
I
they
think
said.
I know who you're talking about.
Oh, really?
Is it a certain MMO guy, yeah?
Is it a what?
It's like... I forgot.
Talking about Josh Strauss.
It's okay.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
I mentioned that people who were helping me with the research were very helpful. And they responded, they're helpful because they're lonely.
Wow.
And I'm like, that was not my experience. Like, EVE, like, when someone asks me what EVE is, the best answer I can give in one sentence is that it's an elaborate social club. The people who are really into Eve are actually quite social, because that's what Eve is. It's people.
Yeah, so like whenever I have to explain Eve to someone, and I usually butcher my own quotes, which kind of goes like, imagine sitting down with your friends and you're writing a sci-fi series. And so a sci-fi series about spaceships and battles and like entire wars and like everything around it. But then the villains in that story, they can write their own story, right? And then every day there's like a new episode coming out, and and you have to make that a good one, right? Like, it's on you to like you're invested. Like, imagine your Game of Thrones season 5, right? You can you can make season 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever, right? You gotta put in some work, and then it's gonna be good seasons, you know?
Yeah,
that's pretty good. I like it.
Yeah, that's how
you get
I
out
always
what you
see
put
it
in.
Yeah, that is exactly true. And that's another thing that I tell that what you just reminded me of, like what I tell new players whenever they come in and say like, ah, here, and like any tips in Eve. And I always have to say like, trust people, you know? Because like for years and years and years, people always go like, oh, in Eve Online, you can't trust anyone because they hear these stories and stuff, right? But I'm like, no. You gotta trust to, you know, build trust. Like, it's fine. Like, every now and then, you might just, you know, lose a couple bit. But hey,
right,
it'll be worth it, trust me.
As a new player, you have nothing to lose.
Exactly true, too.
Yeah, you go all in, because if you have nothing to lose, then you may as well. And the worst case is you found a group that you know to avoid next time, right? and either way, like, you get stories, because it's about the experience of it. And that's what's nice about games like Eve, right? You can have these experiences. It's almost and I feel like this is true about art in general. Art is a place where you have a safe space to experience things. And I think that in some ways, experiences like Eve are similar. It's a place where you can engage with this, and it does matter, and it does have a real impact. But I feel like it's safer to get involved, right? Like, you're not going down to Wall Street and like throwing your money around on trying to like bet on stocks, but you are investing in an experience. And I think that there is a weirdly enough a lower barrier to entry for it. And then when you gain a foothold, it can become a larger, more enriching part of your life.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. And maybe we should we should kind of end it with that sentiment. I don't know.
Before you go though, you remember before the stream started, Frederick, there was a story about CCP Swift release.
Oh my god!
I was actually looking in my notes.
I was just scrolling down.
I was like, wait a second, wasn't there something?
This is one of my favorite moments in the production of this video. Okay. So, I'm a wormholer, and of course I want to talk about wormholes, right? I'm gonna slide information in about them wherever I can. And there was a particular incident with Pandemic Legion, where they were in a fleet battle, right? They were in a fight, and wormholes were not super universally well known. And this fleet commander lost the battle, and they said, okay, I am going, so I'm reading the script, right? I'm reading the script to Convict and to Swift, to Elise, and I describe this fleet battle, you know, it goes badly, and this fleet commander is like, okay, I'm going to hide my fleet in a wormhole, and it's going to be great, and then, the fleet gets trapped on the other side of the wormhole when it collapses, and the scanner is, like, stuck on the K-space side. And they just, they have no way out. They're completely lost and they have no scanner and no probes. And so they just blap each other to get back home. I tell this story, I read this part of the script aloud and just in the gentlest voice, very meekly, Elise speaks up and says, "Oh yeah, that was me." I had just inadvertently read one of their most embarrassing moments as a fleet commander out to them, and like they have just learned that it's going to be blasted out to millions of people. I did not know it was Elise before this. I just knew this story.
Especially since he changed his name, you'd probably only knew him as CCP Swift.
Swift. Well, I learned who they were eventually, right? And like Elise Randolph is just one of those names.
Maybe that's a good subject for another video then. All the embarrassing moments of CCP Swift.
Oh like, yeah.
You thought 6 hours was long.
Some people might see this. Some people sometimes call him CCP Whiff too. Just saying.
Yeah, that's right. Because he was trying to show off the Lancer Dreadnoughts, wasn't
he? Yeah.
Oh, video. No.
And he whiffed it. So
no.
He was CCP Whiffed there for that week.
Oh my god.
I wouldn't have necessarily done a better job, but anyway, carry on.
I feel like this is a nice little bow on top of all of this.
Yeah. Alrighty. I would say if you guys don't have something else to say, like to end this, I would thank you guys. I really appreciate you guys coming on. I appreciate the documentary. Well done. Good job. And
thank you.
Yeah. And similar success, even more on the next videos, on the next endeavors.
Thank you. It may please you to know that this is by far my best performing release.
Oh, is it? How many views does it have right now?
Yes. It has 2.1 million, I believe. Let me double check that. The watch time, however, vastly outperforms anything else. And actually, the average watch time, so the average duration that someone watches the video when they click on that thumbnail is 41 and a half minutes.
That's pretty huge for a 6 hour video, yeah.
That is obscene.
Yeah.
Like that, I could not hope for anything more.
Well, I'm happy for your success, and I would say see you around.
Absolutely.
And thanks again. And the guys in chat.
No, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
The guys in chat, thanks for hanging out.
Thanks, man. See you guys.
And see you guys next week, probably. All right. Bye-bye.